Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. It's our prayer here at the Seed that you would come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., We meet in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you can't meet in person. You can always join the live stream at 9 a.m. at Pacific Time. And you join the live stream by going to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can just go to our YouTubes and watch any of our services, our complete worship service, our weekly messages, and even our children's messages, because we want our children to come and grow in God's love. Since Easter, we've been looking at the words that Jesus spoke after he was resurrected from the tomb. Jesus spoke to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts burned within them as Jesus opened up the scriptures. Jesus spoke to the disciples in the upper room, and he said, "Peace be with you." Not once, not twice, but three times. "Peace be with you." Right now, I think there's a lot of people that need peace. Lord, I pray for all those that are really struggling with fears and worries and doubts and even skepticism. I pray for peace for them right now. Three times Jesus said, "Peace be with you." In John chapter 20, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." John 20, 21, 23. In Luke 24, we find Dr. Luke's account of Jesus coming to the disciples in the upper room. And we read that, or we talked about it last week if you were listening. He said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Luke 24, 36 to 39. In the opening of Matthew 28, we find the women at the tomb, and an angel speaks to them by saying, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Matthew 28, 5 through 7. And then suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me." Matthew 28, 9 and 10. I wonder if you see a theme here in Jesus' words. As I've been reading these words over and over again since Easter, I've been thinking of the resurrection hope we have in these words. Jesus says, "Greetings." He says, "Peace be with you." He says, "Do not be afraid. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." He says, "If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me." Do you hear a theme in these encounters with the risen Christ and his words to his disciples? Well, before we go to our scripture reading for today, let us come to the throne of grace and seek God's grace and mercy as we listen and read his word. Let us pray. Lord God of heaven and earth, we come today to hear your words to us. May our ears be open. May our hearts be open and warm. May we be obedient to all you speak today and always. In today's message, may we come and see the truth and then go quickly and tell others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, since for quite a while, I've been reflecting on passages that remind us that God is with us. I'd like to begin with two Old Testament passages that are very powerful and personal to me. These words were spoken to the prophet Isaiah around 680, maybe 681 BC, towards the end of his life. These words were spoken to the people of Jerusalem years before Jesus was born. These words are words of hope. These words are words of promise that God will be with his people. Listen as though they were written and spoken to you. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west, and I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring your sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. I would ask you to take that passage in Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7, and look at the personal pronoun I, and look at all that God is saying to the people of Jerusalem. He's saying it to you and me. We are in that story. Put yourself in today's passage. So I'm going to break it down and emphasize some of the words. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west, and I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Some 700 years before the birth of Christ, God wanted the people of Jerusalem to know that God was with them and would never leave them. Here we are. Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and we find him on a mountain in Galilee. Listen to the words in Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, this past week, I've been texting others and asking what the resurrection means to them. And I have heard that it is the hinge pin of what everything else holds together. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. The resurrection is everything. Without it, we have nothing. In his book, quote, If I Should Die Before I Live, Joe Lamuzio writes, quote, If I were to ask you to describe Easter without using any words, you could use only punctuation marks. Which punctuation mark would you choose to describe this Easter for yourself, unquote. He goes on to say how some might view Easter as a comma. It makes you stop, pause, think, and listen. That's all it does for you. Others might view Easter as a big, bold period. That is, you thought you'd feel excited about it, but Easter felt empty. Lamuzio then describes Jesus' first disciples and how they moved from a period Jesus is dead, buried, ending all their expectations, to a question mark with the news of the empty tomb, and finally to one massive exclamation mark as they behold him with their own eyes. So what punctuation mark would you use to describe Easter and the resurrection? How would you describe Easter? How would you describe the resurrection? We come to our verse in Matthew 28. Scholars call it the Great Commission, as Jesus gave his final words to his disciples. Before we look at the Great Commission in verses 18 to 20, I'd like to spend a few moments in verses 16 and 17. When I come to the text, I usually ask questions: who, what, why, how, when. Have you ever asked yourself why Matthew tells us that only 11 went to Galilee? We know that Judas was departed from the 12. We do not know the apostles' motive for staying at 11. We also do not know why Jesus did not immediately add one more member before he gave the Great Commission. In my mind, it would make better symbolic sense for verse 16 to start: now Jesus added a man by the name of Matthias to the 11. Then the 12 disciples went to Galilee, and the story would be complete in the number 12, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Perhaps one reason 11 is mentioned relates back to verse 10. Jesus uses a word for the remaining 11 disciples. Jesus uses the term, "my brothers." I believe that Jesus is using this term to forgive, restore, and reestablish these frightened, unsure, skeptical, hesitant, afraid, and doubtful, sinful men as the leaders of the church. Remember, these are the same men who ran in the garden when Jesus was arrested. They ran away. They deserted Jesus. "My brothers." Relationship is restored. Have you ever deserted Jesus? Have you ever run away from the truth? I want you to hear that Jesus calls us family. Our relationship is restored. We are forgiven with this simple: "my brothers, my sisters." You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com, and our prayer team will offer up prayers. We've seen some wonderful blessings and miracles in prayer. Also, if you would like to have a Bible, we will send you a Bible. Just email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and I'll get you a Bible. So I have some questions. Why Galilee? Why a mountain? Well, let's talk about why Galilee. Have you ever wondered why Jesus asked the disciples to go to Galilee? Galilee is a 100 miles from Jerusalem. Why this walk? Perhaps it's a faith walk, reminiscence of Abraham's faith walk. When Abraham was called to leave his family and land and follow God, has God ever called you on a faith walk? Such a walk takes a level of trust. Do not underestimate what faith it must have taken to do what Jesus had directed them to do in Matthew 28:16. Maybe Jesus has been calling you to walk by faith. Maybe Jesus has asked you on a faith walk of your own. My next question is, why a mountain? So what? I ask myself these questions when I read the scriptures. Why Galilee and why a mountain? Location is strategic to God's plan of salvation. Jesus began his earthly adult ministry in Galilee, Galilee of the Gentiles, Matthew 4:15, quotes Isaiah 9:1-2. Please do not miss the theme of all nations. Matthew 28:19 starts here. Jesus began his earthly ministry as he would end it, with a focus of bringing the light of the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, male and female. In Matthew chapters 5-7, Jesus went up on a mountain and gave the Sermon on the Mount. Here is where we find the Beatitudes, considered one of the greatest teachings of Jesus. Just think, Jesus' first great teaching was on a mountain in Galilee, and now his last is on a mountain. Back in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount ends with this noteworthy of authority, and I'm going to read it. He says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one who had authority," Matthew 7:28-29. All authority. Going from that mountain moment to this final Great Commission, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Matthew 28:18. Have you made a trip up a mountain? What a view you have when you get to a viewpoint. I've done several weddings up on the mountains that surround us. The scenery is burned into my mind. Are you on the mountain here with Matthew? Jesus begins and ends by telling us who has the power to make decisions and give orders. I've taken youth groups up to the mountains. I've taken vacations on the mountains. All are spectacular. Perhaps Jesus is saying, what my Father is doing is pretty spectacular. Look it. Take it in. Listen. I thought about why worship and doubt. Have you ever stopped and reflected on verse 17 of Matthew 28? When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Well, I find this closing verse in Matthew remarkably interesting. We are told at the beginning of chapter 28, when the women saw Jesus at the empty tomb, they fell down and worshiped him. We have looked at so many of the appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Why in the world did not all of them fall down and worship Jesus after they'd seen the nail marks in his hands and feet and the hole in his side from the spear? Yet we are told some worshiped, some doubted. Well, maybe that's like us. The Greek word used for doubt is distazo. It is a verb and it means, well, to hesitate, lack confidence, to be uncertain, to waver, to doubt. The only other time that this particular word is used is when Jesus grabs Peter's hand when Peter is sinking under the water. It's a wonderful story of faith found in Matthew 14. In verse 31 of chapter 14, when Jesus grabs a hold of Peter and pulls him out of the sinking water, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, and he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14, 31. Well, some time ago, a man brought forward his strong argument against the Bible, declaring, I am 70 years of age and have never seen such a place as hell, and after all that has been said about it, his little grandson, of about 7 years old, who was all the while listening, asked him, Granddaddy, have you ever been dead yet? How often we trust each other and doubt our Lord. We take the words of mortals and yet distrust God's word. But oh, what light and glory, what would shine over all our days, if we always would remember what God means, just what he says. I tell you the truth, I'm really encouraged by Matthew's truthfulness. Matthew did not have to record, and some doubted. Listen, these are the same 11 disciples who walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen Jesus walk on water, feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw him heal the lepers, give sight to the blind, heal the paralyzed, cure the leprosy, cast out demons, and raise the dead. These same 11 disciples had Jesus standing right in front of them. They knew that he had been crucified and dead and laid in a tomb for 3 days. Yet here Jesus is standing right here and being with them. They've witnessed Jesus in the upper room. Now they've traveled 100 miles to Galilee, and they are with Jesus on the mountain. Listen again. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Why didn't Matthew name names? Why didn't he say, I believed and worshiped Jesus, but Peter didn't, and neither did Thomas or Luke or James or John? I can say honestly that my faith is strengthened by these apostles' doubts. I think Matthew kept everyone nameless so that we could put ourselves in the story. Listen, these guys were just ready to turn the world upside down. It's not time to point fingers. From this story, we can hear that it's normal to doubt. Some of us just need more time to grasp the truth, and that's okay. So what? Let's kind of wrap this up and bring it home. The New Testament indicates that there were at least 10 appearances of the risen Lord, plus another some years later, Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul. In 8 of those appearance accounts, Christ gives an explicit commission, and in 5 of them, he commands his followers to go into the world and preach the gospel. The company that makes the Arm & Hammer baking soda pretty much has a monopoly on the product. Most people associate baking soda with the Arm & Hammer brand because they have the market cornered. There is just not a lot of competition. In the same way, God wants to corner the market in terms of all of the amount of our affection and praise. He wants to have a monopoly, even though there are a lot of idols out there that compete with God for a share of the market. God does not want to share us with the competition. Every time something shows up in the culture that distracts people from the true God, it encroaches on his 100% market share, and God wants a monopoly. I have some scary news for you. Most of the people that I am surrounded with are people like you listening, people who know and love God. Maybe today's message is to encourage you to keep loving the people you know, to keep loving those who don't have a clue about Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the good news. We are on the mountain. Jesus has our full attention. Keep loving your coworker, the one who drives you crazy. Yeah, keep loving the new young punk who thinks they know everything, and you don't. What a crazy ragtag of team Jesus started with. What a crazy ragtag team we are. Yet the command is the same. Go and tell. Preach the good news. I remember several times in my life when I was like the disciples on that mountain in Galilee, worshiping and doubting. When I really felt the call into ministry full-time, I meant leaving the family business and all the security and future there. I was 40 years old with 3 children to feed and care for. I had 1 in college and 2 in high school. That was went over, well, 30 years ago. I have seen a lot of ups and downs in those 30 years. I have had the death of family members, church conflict, friends walking away from me and my family, my wife's health struggles with mercury and lead poisoning, and my own health struggles. I've had a time to just contemplate. There was a time in 2009 I was contemplating leaving the ministry after an exceedingly difficult time in a church. A dear friend had been trying to get me to go with him to Ecuador to do ministry. I kept putting him off. His name is Javier. He would call every week and tell me that God was telling him that I was supposed to go with him. I kept pushing him away and doubting what Hav was asking me to do. Finally, one day, Hav called me up and said, "Dave, you're going to Ecuador. I just bought you a round-trip ticket." While I was there, the Holy Spirit moved mightily upon my heart and renewed my call. I spent the week teaching and doing ministry with Hav, and the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to journal on Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. And verse 11 is what changed my call. "For as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up from the nations." The Seed Christian Fellowship is the church born from, well, my all-expense-paid trip to Ecuador in 2009. There are many stories of faith that have sustained our church here at the Seed Christian Fellowship since it was founded in 2010. Our mission depicts the Great Commission: know, grow, go, and sow. "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Jesus spent a lot of his time on earth in community. Sure, he went away and prayed by himself, but he was often found in a crowd, community. Friends, as we come to the communion table on Sundays, we envision ourselves on that mountain of Galilee. I pray that we hear the Great Commission. May we as a church know the love of God. May we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and may we go in the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus promises us to be with us, well, until the end of the age or the final buzzer. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks for this day. Let us be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.